As promised, Dr. Dan Phelan, president of Jackson College, in the building today. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you.
And Cindy Allen's here.
Backup.
Oh, moral support. moral support.
Yes. Yeah.
So, where you been?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Actually, quite busy of late. We're hopefully, as a result of a lot of the work we're doing right now, we're hopeful that tomorrow up at the Capitol we're going to be able to announce a bill number, hopefully that will yield a baccalaureate science degree nursing opportunity for community colleges, which we've been working on, I have been working on for 17 years. So that will be a bill that we will have introduced, and really want to thank Senator Shirky. I really appreciate the majority leader's work on this, and he's been very, very helpful on that. And it's got a long way to go through the process, but essentially it's really not much of a bill. It's basically the Community College Act and the addition of baccalaureate science degree nursing, along with Crown Creek Technology and Maritime Academy and culinary arts and also energy production. So that's one of the things that's been keeping me busy. Another one is a lot of the action up in Washington, D.C., and what those monies are meaning for us, and making sure we're deploying those to students and to our future students in a way that I think is meeting the needs of our local community as well as meeting the legal requirements. So just super busy. A lot of other things going on as well.
Dan, why in the world would that take 17 years?
That's a really good question. You know, Greg, here's
That's
the
crazy.
It is beyond crazy, in my opinion. You know, over half of the United States have baccalaureate programs. Most of them, in addition to every applied baccalaureate program you can think of, they have baccalaureate science degree nursing. Here's the funny thing, Greg, particularly about the baccalaureate science degree nursing. We're importing in this state right now over 2,000 Canadian nurses to be able to fill Michigander jobs. So here's the funny thing.
And it's going to get worse.
Absolutely. I remember a few years ago, Greg, actually watching the legislation move through that made it easier for Canadian nurses to be authorized, to be certified, to be able to practice in Michigan than allowing community colleges to be able to do this work. And recently we've had some hospitals in the region going down to, I think, Jamaica to recruit nurses to come on up. We actually have hospitals that are closing beds because they don't have enough staff. And, of course, the baccalaureate's important to us because more and more hospitals are going to magnet status, meaning the minimum educational entry point is the baccalaureate degree. So we think it's critically important. We think it's important to the health of Michiganders. We think it's important to economic development. And I have continued to push on that as the longest serving community college president now in Michigan. I'm the one carrying the history of it, I suppose. But I'm really hopeful this time. It feels close. I think the right stars are lining. So I'm hopeful that we'll get that done. But not everybody is in favor of it. As you know, the universities are not interested. And one of the concerns that I have is that even if all 28 community colleges would give authorization and would do this, there's no way if all the universities and all the community colleges had a nursing program, could we satiate the demand for nurses right now? We just can't. And I will also go on to say that not every one of the 28 community colleges want to do this. I think it's a handful, six or seven. So it doesn't make sense to me. We've got people that need to have medical care, and we have jobs that are open, and we need to be allowed to do this work. We're already doing the first 3 years of this baccalaureate already, Greg. So,
yeah. How are they doing? How did they hold it up? Simply with lobbying efforts?
Yes, absolutely. I remember a number of the years, I remember one lobbyist saying that the defeat of the community college baccalaureate science degree nursing is a university's highest priority. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, of all the things on the planet to be concerned
That's
about,
crazy.
Defeating this is your highest priority. It just is nonsensical to me, and I'm committed to it. My mother was a nurse. I saw firsthand about the power of nursing. Of course, we're all getting older. Baby boomers are becoming more in number, and we're going to need care. And COVID just has aggravated the issue. And what deeply concerns me is that we've got hospital beds that we can't put people into. And so, you know, our program is excellent. Our faculty, I put them at the top of the heap in terms of quality and capability. At the associate's degree level and at the one-year level, we call the licensed practical nursing program, our students do better than the state average and better than the national average in terms of the board pass rate and placement. So I know we can do this work. We're, in addition to being accredited overall as an institution like everybody else with the Higher Learning Commission, like the University of Michigan, Michigan State, and others, we're also accredited by the National League of Nursing. So this is like a good housekeeping seal of approval on top of everything else. It's optional. So we've got everything that we need, top quality faculty, the right program, the right equipment. We're making all the investments. And here's the funny thing, Greg. The last year of the baccalaureate science degree nursing program is didactic. It's lecture. All the heavy investments, all the clinical, all the expensive equipment, the high-fidelity mannequins, all that has already been expended by the college. So what is the holdup? And there's a need, and our local hospital providers love us. They love our students, and they're of high quality. So,
no-brainer. Come on.
Sometimes common sense isn't common practice, Greg. I think that's just where it's at, but I'm not giving up. So.
How are the wheels grinding and Lansing? Goodness.
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a board meeting last night.
We did.
What can you report?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, I'm just thrilled about our board to begin with. I couldn't brag on them enough. I think that we are probably one of the few, if not the only, community college in the nation that has all of its trustees who are alums of the institution. That's just amazing. It gives them particular insight about who we are and what we do and what we can do. So I appreciate their leadership, their counsel. They're great people that direct me, and I do my best to try to achieve their vision. One of the things that we spend a little bit of time talking about, which is important to our board and to me, obviously, is that we have what we call ownership linkage, a connection with the community. So increasingly, our board is reaching out and having group meetings with like the chamber board, the bank boards, and those kinds of things, just to be able to have a longer-term view about Jackson College as it is now. Not so much on programs specifically, like we need a program in pottery or something. That's not what that's about. They're focusing on what do we need to do for the future to position Jackson College to meet the not only current, but more emerging needs longer term. Looking down the road, looking at the space that we're in right now, how does Jackson College coexist with a disease? How do we plan for that? How do we develop the kinds of programs that are meeting the needs to make sure that Jackson County is an economic powerhouse?
Workforce.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the big one. Of course, that's a big one nationally, and there's some funding around that. So I'm really excited about the board, particularly Trustee Lake and Vice Chairman Christ are doing great work on that and getting out and meeting with what we call the owners of the college and getting a sense about where should we go and how best to position our institution going forward. And also recognizing that I think higher education generally, just not community colleges, but we're forever changed because of COVID. In fact, Greg, I would say, you know, we've been aware of a lot of the cracks in higher education for a long time, and I think COVID just accentuated that. And in many respects, higher education is fungible. It is a sea of sameness out there, with the exception of University of Michigan, the Ivy Leagues, and other institutions. But by and large, people are perceiving now an English composition class to be an English composition class to be an English composition class, regardless of institution. So what is the value proposition for taking that class? Cost, time, location, capability, quality of the faculty, those kinds of things. So we're trying to reimagine what higher education looks like, and our sense, and based on what we're hearing so far, is that we've got to figure out how to coexist with disease and understand how that happens, and our society is changing a bit, and yet the need for training is more important. We've reduced our instructional programming largely from 15-week semesters to 7 weeks. People want less time, so we've really kind of packed that in. We're looking at financial aid differently, and we're also reaching out to the community very differently as well. In fact, last night, Cindy Allen and I had a meeting with our affinity groups. We're finding new ways to be able to reach out to the whole of the community. And we've identified individuals that are actually under our employ who represent all of the different areas. And we are using those people as a way to make sure that we are ready, willing, and available to them to meet their needs, both in terms of education, the recognition of their unique cultures, and what we might be able to do to kind of celebrate that uniqueness. I don't know, Cindy, if you wanted to add anything more related to that meeting yesterday.
It's just sometimes at the end of the day when you meet with a group of individuals like that that are so excited about the work they're doing, they understand how life-changing it is for a number of the residents in this community, and they're proud to be carrying the torch. And while we have separate groups, certainly we don't want to silo groups of people to be, you know, here's the Pakistanian American Indian, or here's the Latinx and Hispanic. But they're having meetings and they're talking to each other, knowing that these groups of people and citizens in this community, you know, cross over into several different groups. So they're doing some amazing work. They're planning a great calendar. So I'd encourage people to go to our website. Some things that we're doing, I think, are just really amazing. And again, the people that are in charge of it, you know, Mr. Iosensio Jacob, he's just excited about everything that he's doing, and he knows that he's making a difference.
Sure. I mean, he came out and helped us to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. You know, Greg, the community is really diverse, and what we're trying to do is provide a bigger light on that and celebrate those uniquenesses of each individual, each culture, and the various groups within our community, and say, this is a place, this is a safe space at our campus, and where you can come and we can celebrate you and your culture and things that are unique to you. So it was just fun, really, hearing from our groups yesterday about all that they've done. We provide office spaces on campus for them to be there, and Kelly Crum serves as their coordinator. And so just making sure that all people feel welcome and at our institution, and that we have programs, instructional programs that are beneficial, and that individuals feel comfortable to come and continue their education there. Even use the college to celebrate things like Cinco de Mayo or the Day of the Dead or those kinds of things. And through that expression of celebration and understanding unique cultures, we grow, I think, as a community. We grow as a people in our understanding and appreciation for others.
Key is to that comfort level, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, frankly, it's long overdue. I think it's my failure that I didn't start this earlier. And I just really am gratified by the conversations that we're having and excited about the direction we're taking.
Do you see more virtual coming in?
Generally for the college?
Yes,
I would say, in fact, you know, before COVID, we were probably 70% ground-based and 30% online, and it's just flipped.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think the data right now, I just remember reading them a couple of days ago, I think 13% of our students are taking all of their classes entirely on the ground. We pick up another 19% who are taking hybrid. That means that they're taking classes that include a online component and an on-ground component, and then the balance are all remote. I would say that it varies on the type of institution, the location of the institution, obviously what the conditions are in terms of the virus, but I don't see an immediate return to campus-based. I think that people are going to sort it out for some time, what their own comfort level is, and institutions are responding. So at Jackson College, a big area of our focus is what we're calling Jackson College Global, and recognizing that we can provide this programming virtually to anybody in the world. So we want to make sure that it's available, it's promoted, and that we've got the program strength, the diversity of programming, and also the, I guess, the promotion for people to know that it's out there and available. But will we ever get back to the way it was? I'm not sure. I think we're all trying to figure that out right now.
Can you reach out to people around the world?
Actually, we do. In fact, before COVID, we actually had, especially in our nursing and allied health programs, we had individuals who are needing to get clinical. So if I'm a radiological technologist, there might not be enough placements for clinical here. So I may be in Eugene, Oregon, and we have individuals that we contract with in Eugene to serve as our liaison to help monitor and evaluate the performance of a student in that program, for example. So we've been doing that. Of course, we've got an international program. So literally individuals that we are participating with, we've had faculty traveling to China to provide education there. We also have had students from across the state lines participating with us. So as I said before, I think higher education is generally considered to be fungible now, and people know that they want to get an education in order to have a reasonable living, a good quality of life. And the flexibility of it is really important to them, and online caters to that. I remember before I came to Jackson College in 2001, I was president of Southeastern along the Mississippi River down in West Burlington, Iowa. And I remember I was teaching an online class then. This is, you know, 21 years ago plus.
Wow.
And I remember when the homework was most turned in. So I had all these students, about 32 students in my classes. And I remember you'd see the timestamp come in. And between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning is when I got most of the homework turned in. So people have very different lives, multiple shifts. They have different sleep cycles, a lot of things that they're working through. And I think that they find a way, make a way, and online satisfies a lot of those issues.
Yeah, when I went out there, we still had a dial telephone.
A rotary dial.
We didn't even have a push button.
Well, there you go. We've come a long way, Greg.
So we were in class or...
Well, you would be very
interested.
Yes, true. Well, speaking of the telephone, you would be interested to know that we're actually eliminating telephones. We're actually running it through our computer system. So people have this ubiquitous device called a cell phone, so they've got that on their own. And then, of course, all of our regular, what used to be called a PBX system, is being converted and put into our computers now.
Much needed was the new baseball softball complex.
Absolutely. Oh, we're so excited about that, Greg. I don't know if you've driven by there lately. I know you were out there.
I saw the softball.
Oh, my gosh. It's coming along nicely. One of our team took a drone out there and took some aerial pictures of it. It's coming along. A lot of the flat work, the concrete work, is completed. It's shaping up rather nicely. I really want to thank Jason Valenti, who's our Vice President of Advancement, who's been working hard trying to help us raise money for this. I don't think there's going to be a space like this anywhere in Jackson County. And, of course, it will be a lighted field, first time ever for Jackson College, which will allow us to engage the community more, perhaps, for the use of our fields, but also have evening play and perhaps even regional contests or tournaments that we can actually have at Jackson College. We could host those because we could have evening play. So I'm excited about what that means and creating that space and looking for a different way of promoting student athletes on our campus and having good quality spaces for recruiting and retention of student athletes.
Yep. Basketball set to kick off, and you hired Chris Johnson.
Yes, right.
As the,
CJ, yep,
the
yep.
men's coach.
Yes, and, yes, very excited.
He's pretty pumped up.
Yes, he is, and I think he's always been kind of pumped up.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're gratified to have not only him, but all of our coaching staff. I think they just do an amazing job, and Courtney is a great athletic director out of Jackson College. She's just been doing an amazing job helping us make sure that we've got the right kind of coaches. That we're providing the right kind of focus. So there's student athletes. We're making sure we're taking care of academics first and coaching second. Our basketball coaching staff and even our volleyball staff may be happy on our books. I'm not sure we'll get it done immediately, but within the next 3 years, our hope is to be able to air condition that facility. So that will give us new opportunity for not only sport, but also for any of the patrons who come to watch.
So, What do you have coming up? Anything exciting?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
There is a show Thursday night, isn't there, Cindy?
We have our vocal music group. They figured out a way to do a concert over in Atkinson. They're actually going to be up on the second floor singing out over the library area. And they're all going to be tested ahead of time or vaccinated, but leave it to Richard Hinsey to come up with a way to go ahead and do something. But last weekend, we had a community concert band in there. And again, what we're trying to do with shows where we have it ticketed is to, as people are buying tickets, we just block out some seats around them to spread people out even more and so forth. So again, it's just one more thing we're trying to do to make sure we can keep everybody safe.
So yeah, 7-week programs, you can get in.
Yes.
Just about any time, can't you?
You know, we would like to have ourselves to be considered just a continuous higher education institution. So we have some 15-week, we have majority or 7-week, but we also have 5-week and we have 10-week. So, and then online, of course, we've got the synchronous or asynchronous. So really, about any time anybody wants to go to college, we can take care of you. And on top of that, we're working very hard to kind of remake and redefine what employers are looking for and what baccalaureate granting institutions are looking for by trying to move away from that traditional Carnegie unit and focusing more on competencies. Vice President Jeremy Frew is our provost, handles both instruction and student services. He and our deans and our faculty and department chairs are working really hard to move us in that direction of being competency-focused, so you have clearly defined skill sets rather than grades to talk about what you can do for employers, but also have those skills that can be defined to a transfer institution so they know how best to place you in a baccalaureate granting school.
Well, good luck tomorrow in Lansing.
Well, thank you. I've got my fingers crossed.
You had hair when that started, didn't you?
I absolutely did. The few strands I've got left might be gone if we don't get it passed.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.